Genesis chapter 27. We read the first half of this chapter last time. We should go a little deeper into it this evening. We read from verse 1 again, Genesis 27 and verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go and fetch me them. And he went and fetched, and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou baddest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Esau his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field, which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And may God add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture this evening. just to link up with last time. Then we moved into this 27th chapter of the book of Genesis. And as we did so, one said that its contents was pathetic. A few questions were posed, you remember? Did Isaac know that which had been communicated to Rebekah prior to the birth of these twins, that the elder should serve the younger? Was Isaac aware that Esau had already forfeited his birthright? And then we established from Scripture Isaac's age, which one said was important, which in verse 1 of the chapter would have been 137 years. Precisely the same age as was Ishmael when he died, Isaac's half-brother. He died at the age of 137. Isaac had now lost his eyesight and was also possibly suffering from some ailment which caused him to take to his bed. He obviously thought that his days on earth were numbered, and that the sands of his hourglass were fast running out, and he was making due preparation. And in last week's sermon, I pointed out how right it is to so prepare. First in things spiritual, and then in things which are material. But not to be ready to give up, even if we are restricted by age, or even by physical malady. For man's chief aim, we saw, as one quoted the old catechism, man's chief aim is to glorify God. And I pointed out from the scriptures that this is gloriously possible in the eventide of life, and even on a sick bed. And I said then that many a man and woman have glorified God more upon their sickbed than ever they did in life. Many men have brought greater glory to God, I believe, on their bed than ever they did in the pulpit. It's possible. And thus application was made to all our hearts in this connection. We go further into the narrative now. Isaac, having called Esau to him in verse 3, says, "Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison." Isaac's request to Esau. Now some may have a query and say, "But I don't understand. Esau was married. I thought he had gone." Yes, he was married. He'd been married 37 years at this point. But it is obvious that he was still within the confines of his father's encampment or settlement. True, he had taken two wives of the Hittites, which was a great grief to his father and to his mother. Yet from these verses it is quite clear that Isaac had not turned Esau adrift. He was still there on the site. And another point I should make, for I believe that many people look upon this incident as involving a father and two young fellows, possibly in their teens. And I confess, I used to think this. It's nothing but the result of the shallow teaching of Sunday schools and of children's Bible stories. how misleading such things can be. Esau was married at the age of 40, and this event before us now was 37 years later. So this is no lad going out hunting. It is a man, 77 years of age. Well, how differently we view the scene when we know the facts of the matter puts a completely different face on it. And as I pointed out last time, as I brought to you John Calvin's remarks, he said it's an incredible story. Pathetic in the extreme. You see, this is not irresponsible youngsters who figure in this drama. It is senior, mature persons. Verse 4. Make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat and my soul may bless thee before I die. Oh yes, this is a pathetic verse. Pathetic in more ways than one. Just want a little more venison, he says, before I die. Well, what a request for a man of God that thinks he's on the brink of eternity. As if there's nothing beyond. Just like to taste a little more venison, he says. Just one more tasty dish before I leave this scene. It was as if he was suggesting that this could well be his last opportunity of gratifying his palate. I say not exactly the language to hear from one who was seeking better things to come. In any case, he need not have been too worried, for God was going to give him another 40 years and more, in which he could eat his savory dishes. But far more sad is it to learn of Isaac's intention following this meal. I will bless thee, he said, before I die. I will bless thee, Esau. I will bless thee, Esau, before I die. But what about that divine oracle? That word given to Rebekah, the blessing is to be upon Jacob. How come Isaac to be acting in such a way as this? Friends, I believe the answer is to be found in chapter 25 and verse 28. In fact, of that I am sure. Verse 28 of chapter 25 says, Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Carnal affection. Carnal affection. What a warning stands out upon this page of Holy Writ. A warning which we all need to heed. A holy man of God, yet blindly carried away by human affection. And by so doing, he is contending against the revealed will of God. How many, I fear, have been ensnared in this same trap by the adversary. Human affection and the upsetting of other members of the family. This has been the means of deterring many a man of God from developing and functioning as he should. What will the family think if I really take my stand? What will my relatives think if I really throw in my lot with them? a very real danger. And I say many a man of God and many a woman have been ensnared in this way. The Lord himself knew the potential danger of human affection, and he gave stern warning in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 36. He says, a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Oh, let not family influence ever hold a man or woman back from spiritual duty. Because of human affection, Isaac is prepared. He's even prepared to make void the word of God. The Almighty had said that the blessing was to be Jacob's. Isaac said, I will bless thee, Esau. Isaac is about to thwart the purpose of God, whose will had been plainly stated that the elder should serve the younger. As I pointed out last time, it is a very far-fetched thought to think that Isaac never knew that oracle communicated to Rebekah. Of course he knew. Verse 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah heard. Rebekah heard. Now, to go back to verse 28 of chapter 25 again. And Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. The mother was ensnared in exactly the same way as was the father. Jacob was her boy. He was the one to be favored, whereas the father took the other line. Both ensnared, though, with the same sin. I said in an earlier sermon that we should see evils which would follow in the wake of parental favoritism some months ago. And how true it is. And here are the evils are becoming manifest, the result of parental favoritism. Rebekah knew full well the purpose of God concerning this matter. And so also did Isaac, I am sure. But let us suppose for a moment that Rebekah had kept this a secret for 77 years. Surely, knowing it to be the purpose of the Almighty, why did she not disclose it to her husband now, and so cause him to act aright? She doesn't shine either way. And as we examine the details of this chapter, none of the characters on stage act in a spiritual way, neither Isaac nor Rebekah, nor Esau, because he'd sold his birthright under oath, nor Jacob. Yet, as I said last time at the introduction, over and above the carnal actions of men and their sin, a sovereign God is ordering and controlling, and his ultimate design comes through unscathed. And it always will be so, always. The plan and purpose of God will never, never suffer loss. But I hasten to add This does not exonerate men from their sinful actions or the handling of the things of God in a carnal way. God will judge them for it. Yet another angle. Although Rebecca had overheard the conversation between Isaac and son Esau, she knew that the decrees of Almighty God were immutable, that the purposes of God in election can never be made void. She knew that. I say again, none, not even the mother, is acting in a spiritual manner. Each parent, I believe, is acting in the flesh to secure the blessing for their respective favorites. That's all they're concerned about. And when you remember that these sons were 77 years of age, it makes the whole thing more incredible. Then add to this, that which we are now coming to, it is little wonder that John Calvin said that this is more like a scene of child's make-believe. This is what follows. Verse 6. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch from me from thence two good kids of the goats, that I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. A counterplot. A counterplot. Why? Was Rebekah concerned that the purposes of God might be fulfilled? It does not say that. It does not say that this is what motivated Rebekah. That he might bless thee. You're my boy, Jacob. This was Rebekah's desire. And so she outlines to her favorite son her deceptive plan. And he who was quick to see a cunning scheme latched on immediately. But he sees a difficulty. He's a little more acute than his mother. Verse 11, And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And Rebekah by now seems to be possessed of a hasty zeal. She must rush this matter through. Esau had already gone out with his bow and his quiver. My boy is to have this blessing, and upon it she was set. Verse 13, his mother said unto him, Obey me. Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me them. Forget any thought of a curse, says she. I will take that. I accept sole responsibility. Obey my voice and go fetch me those kids. She's talking to a man of 77 years of age, you know. Amazing story, this. Verse 14. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. Off went Jacob, like a good boy. 77 years. Verse 15. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck, And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Now, although Jacob was married and long ago ceased to live with his parents, yet as we saw earlier, he was still in the same settlement. And in verse 15, we see that Esau either kept or had left a garment in Rebekah's dwelling. This garment, which was hanging there in his mother's dwelling, together with the skins of the two kids, which were just dressed off, completes the charade. Jacob's problem is now solved. His problem is solved. Now, we might register here that his worry was not deception. That didn't worry him a bit. His worry was not deception. His worry was detection. Is not this often the case? Is not this often the case? We are far less concerned about the sin than we are of being found out. As one man once said, he did not really mind breaking the law as long as he wasn't found out. So it was here. Certainly true of Jacob. He wasn't worried about the deception, but he was concerned lest he be found out. It was the detection that worried him. But now, with all these things laid on, it's fairly foolproof to a blind man. And as I studied these verses carefully, I was most impressed by the thoroughness of the whole scheme. Hatched up in a hurry, but very thorough. Every eventuality seems to have been considered, all in such a short space of time. And it was also of great interest to me, as I pondered these verses, to discover that the five senses are involved in this. The five senses: sight, hearing, taste, smell, touch. The sense of sight was out of the question, for Isaac was blind, so that was catered for. By the sense of hearing, Isaac may have had his suspicions aroused. The sense of taste was catered for by Rebekah's cunningly preparing savory meat, dressing up a couple of kids. So dressing it up in her culinary expertise that it would appear and taste just like venison. The sense of smell was got over by Jacob wearing Esau's clothes, garments which, by virtue of Esau's pursuits, would carry the aroma of the fields and the scent of game. The sense of touch, the fine hair of kids fastened on Jacob's neck and the backs of his hands, which, if the blind father did touch, would allay any suspicion aroused by the voice. The five senses of the flesh, all in full play, an absolute carnal exercise. Now the scene grows vividly dramatic. Jacob goes in. Verse 18. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And it is at this point that deception leads to direct lying. Verse 19. Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that my soul, thy soul may bless me. I am Esau, thy firstborn. A flagrant lie. Our friends, we need to take this to heart. I make the application. Make no mistake about this. One sin will soon lead to another. Let a Christian stray from the paths of righteousness only a little, and soon he'll be on the high road to sin. Just stray a little from the paths of holiness, and soon that person will be on the high road to sin, and then further sin, and then further sin. Verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. This verse proves the statement which I have just made. Stray a little, one sin leads to another, and then to another. This verse proves the point. First deception, then direct lying, now going as far as to bring God's name into the wretched affair. This invariably happens when a believer strays from the paths of righteousness. They will sin, they will backslide. They'll still talk piously. They'll bring God's name into it. Verse 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Everything going nicely, all working according to the cunning plan. Verse 24. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. He said, Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought wine, and he did drink. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelt the smell of his raiment, and blessed him. And he said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field, which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed is every one that curseth thee, and blessed is he that blesseth thee. Yes, it worked. It worked. Jacob got the blessing. But what a God-dishonoring way of going to work. What a God-dishonoring way in going to work. You know, in very large measure, Esau, the reprobate, was out of this. It was Isaac, Rebekah, and Jacob, the true seed. And that's the solemn part of it. They were more to blame than Esau. But it worked. Jacob got the blessing. But why all this scheming? Why this fleshly enterprise? God had even from the womb decreed the blessing to be upon Jacob. Beloved, did we not see a week or so ago that the purposes of God in election stand? It is only for men to declare the truth concerning this. The purposes of God in election stand. I say it's only for men and for his people to declare the truth of Holy Scripture. God will accomplish his purpose. The Almighty God does not require the gimmickry, the fleshly activity, the carnal scheming of his people in the church today in order that elect souls might be effectually called and blessed. They're only to abide by his word. Yet the church is full of carnival, of carnal activity. Oh yes, it will appear as if it works. Souls are saved. We're constantly hearing this. Ah, but God blessed it, you see. Worked here. Jacob got the blessing. Those ordained to eternal life will believe. God will so order and so control the foolish actions and fleshly motives of a sad, deficient witness to the end that his kingdom suffers no loss. Every soul predestined to glory will be saved. But what a charge! What a charge will large sections of the church have to answer for following the pattern of Rebecca and Jacob. May the Lord ever keep us from such spiritual disgrace. Amen. We close by singing hymn number 880. 880. Ere I sleep, for every favor this day showed by my God, I will bless my Savior. 880. Remove me. Visit me.
salvation, let thy care now be near round my habitation. Thou my rock, my guard, my tower, safely keep while I sleep. Let me rise with the wise, counted in their number.
And now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.